السلام عليكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاتي ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We start off by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who every year gives an invite to a selected few to come and be present in front of his house. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives virtue to the days of Dhul Hijjah. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does not see our sacrifice, but he sees our taqwa. We then send peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one that was sent not just as a mercy to mankind, but as a mercy to the worlds, who came to teach us not just how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how to interact and deal with one another. We send peace and blessing upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who helped him and aided him, amma ba'd thereafter. Towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very famous hadith, which some scholars call it Ummul Hadith, the mother of all hadith, this incident takes place, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting in the masjid with the companions, and Umar radiallahu anhu, who narrates this hadith, says that all of a sudden, a man came in and he had very dark hair and very white clothes. We didn't know him, and he didn't seem like he had any signs of travel, and when he came up very close all the way to the front, and he sat in a very respectful way where he was sitting on his knees, and he put his hands on his knees, and his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he began to ask a series of questions. He said, "Ya Muhammad, tell me, what is Islam? Oh Muhammad, tell me, what is Iman?" He says, "What is Ihsan, and when is the Day of Judgment?" And the final question he asked, that tell me the signs of the Day of Judgment. But upon the first question he asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What is Islam?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, number one, that you testify in the witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you establish prayer, that you give zakat, that you fast in the month of Ramadan, وَتُحُجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and that you perform hajj if you are able to do so. Now, usually what happens when you start this discussion, all people say that this is a very basic discussion. We've been doing this Muslim thing for 40, 50 years. What are you telling us about, you know, what Islam is? But in reality, this hadith happens in the 9th year or in the 10th year of migration, where the companions were with the Prophet ﷺ for 23 years. And Jibreel, he comes and he asks these questions. And the Prophet ﷺ at the end of this says that this was Jibreel, he came to teach you your deen, that it's not basic. This is the fundamentals. And from time to time, you have to refresh the fundamentals. But in this first question, the last thing the Prophet ﷺ says, the last of these five things is that you perform hajj. And it was in Hajjatul Wada that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stands up on the plain of Arafah. A man comes to Umar radiallahu ta'ala and he says that there's a verse in your tradition. If that verse was revealed in our tradition, in the Ahl al-Kitab tradition, we would declare that day a day of celebration, a holiday. And Umar ta'ala asked, "What verse is this?" And this man said, "Al-yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum," that today we have completed your religion. Umar ta'ala responds back, he says, not only do I know when that verse was revealed, but I know exactly where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And the completion of our deen took place in Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the plains of Arafah, and he stood up and he said these verses of Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum, giving us the hint that your deen is complete when this fifth pillar takes place. It was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after completing building the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, call out to people, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ, call out to people to come to Hajj. And if you think about this scenario, in front of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there may have been two people, just two people at that time. His son Ismail, and his wife Hajj alayhi salatu wasalam. And he's told, call out and give adhan. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it's your job to call out and invite people. It's our job to bring people. It's our job to send an invitation and choose and select who gets to answer this call. Just two people in front of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But when that call is answered, for over 4,000 years now, every year, even during COVID, in COVID a very select few, but every year the call to the answer of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has been taking place. Where this now has become the most continuous spiritual pilgrimage, gathering every single year, where people in the millions come from every single background, every single skin tone, every single country. 160 countries from all across the globe, they come, and they come with the same purpose of answering the call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will come walking. They will come on animals, and the animals will be weak. مِن كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيكٍ, from every single corner. And today you see, people use all different types of modes of transportation to answer this call. A brother from Chechnya got on a bicycle, and from Chechnya, Russia, he bicycled all the way to Hajj. a group of Muslims from England bicycled to Hajj. A man from Indonesia walked from Far East Asia to the Middle East to answer this call. And people answer this call whether they can afford it or not afford it. Why? Because their hearts are connected. And this is very important. Every single parent here in America, Muslim parent, the biggest worry that I have as a father is, will my child be connected to Islam? That's my biggest worry. I send my child out to public school, I send my child out to the gym, I send my child out to the shopping market, to the mall, and my biggest worry is, I hope that they don't get influenced by a negative influence that takes away Islam from them. Because we see this every single day. But you ask yourself the question, what importance to Islam have I given my children? I've taken my children to Florida. We went to New York. We've been to Aruba, to the Bahamas, to Jamaica, to Europe, to Turkey. But when it comes to Hajj or Umrah, okay, the children may be young for Hajj, but Umrah, where you connect your children to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a house that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he's leaving Mecca, he turns to Mecca and he says, you are beloved to me. And if your people did not force me to leave, I would not leave. And we ask ourselves the question, that do we show our children that same importance when it comes to Hajj? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that when a Haji makes the intention for Hajj, from that moment, he becomes a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why we talk about this in this next week, the month of Dhul-Hijjah is about to start, and in this next week, the Hujjaj from our community will be leaving. But the amazing part is that they are still here in Frisco, but they're already guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they've made that intention. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when the Haji gets up and he says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, that he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I'm here in front of you, I've left everything behind. And the crazy part is, I don't want to leave anything behind for anybody else. You ask me, don't use your car, and I'll say, absolutely not. You tell me, walk to the masjid instead of driving to the masjid, I'll say, absolutely not. You say, leave your phone at home, you leave your clothes or your food, and I will say, absolutely not. But when a haji stands up and says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, he's telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I've left my car, I've left my food, I've left my job, I've left my comfort, I've left my clothes, I've even left my family, I've left my wealth behind, and I'm here just for you. And that is a pure statement of love. It's like what they show in movies, that a hero travels across the world and stands in front of his beloved and says, I love you. And she says, you traveled across the world for me? Imagine saying that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, oh Allah, labbaik, I'm here for you. And imagine the response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives back to the haji and says, you're here for me? My love has brought you here. 16, 17, 18 hours in a plane, and then you went on a bus, and then you went from here, from one desert to another desert to another desert. You left your clothes and you wore ihram. You couldn't even put on perfume. You haven't showered with soap. You haven't used shampoo. All of that is for me? And imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur, the one who is most appreciative. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the Haji says labbaik, every single thing that hears his labbaik, when he says, oh Allah, I'm here, even the trees and the stones will on the day of judgment come and testify on this person's behalf, that oh Allah, we were present when he came there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, and when the Hujjaj gather in the plain of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the lowest levels of the heavens and he speaks to the angels And he says to the angels, I call to the angels to testify that I have forgiven so-and-so person. And that person I have forgiven. And that person I have forgiven. To the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that day of Arafah, Shaitan feels the most disgrace. He feels humiliated. Why? Because he sees the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being given out in abundance. And then the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that every step a haji takes, his sins are forgiven. And the very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever performs hajj, and he does not fight, and he does not engage in immoral acts, and he does not commit sin, he will return back like the day that his mother has given his birth, completely clean slate. And a lot of times the kids ask, but what about his major sins? You know, does that mean that you can perform, you can do any sin and then go to Hajj and everything's maaf, everything's forgiven? But the reality is, Hajj is about transformation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you return back like the day that your mother has given you birth. Why? Because this transformation in Hajj has already taken place. You haven't realized it yet, but it's happened. When you stand in front of the Kaaba and you perform your Umrah before Hajj, you understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to Mina on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, and you spend that day just in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preparing for Hajj, you learn a very valuable lesson of preparation when it comes to ibadah. Don't just wake up and fall into your salah, but prepare yourself beforehand. When you stand in Arafah, and the haji stands in Arafah for 5 to 6 hours continuously, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the point that hadith says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the plains of Arafah, outside of the tent, in the blazing heat, with his hands up high, to the point that you could see his underarms, and he was calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For these 5 to 6 hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the lesson, the haji, the lesson, call out to me, make dua, ask me. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my servant asks about me, I am close to him. What am I doing? I'm answering his prayers. Another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make dua, call, supplicate. Tell me what you want. What's your problem? Your finances? Your health? Your mental situation? Your family? Ask me, and I will give to you. And this is a lesson that the haji learns in Arafah. And then from there, when the haji goes to Muzdalifah, and there's no tent, there's no bed, there's no AC, there's no air condition, there's no fan, and he lays down in a night in an open sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that sometimes in your life you will face hardships. And when you go through those hardships are a form of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every time your life knocks you down, understand, in that moment you are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are patient. If you take a lesson, and if this hardship brings you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from there the haji goes to Jamarat, and he throws pebbles at Shaitan. And the lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, that distance yourself, not from just Shaitan, but your own vices. And when we take our hujjaj to Hajj, we tell them upon every stone, 49 stones in a span of 3 days, or 70 stones in a span of 4 days. Think about every weakness that you have. This is for my jealousy. This is for my anger. This is for my lying. This is for when I miss salah. This is for when I treat my spouse right. This is for when I abuse my children. This is for when I cheat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us to break free from your vices. And then from there, the haji comes back and shaves his head. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the lesson of change in your life. That you go in one way, but you come back a different way. And how you have to continuously be hungry for change. That a person who sticks to one thing and then becomes content and doesn't look to progress and doesn't look to change, to the point where in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the condition of a nation until they themselves initiate that change. And then the Haji goes and performs his udhiyah, sacrifices the animal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the lesson of sacrifice. But also Allah tells us that it's not about the animal, it's not about the meat, it's not about the blood, but it's about the taqwa that you have, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have. And then the Haji goes and performs tawaf ziyarah. And the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us is of fulfilling your obligations. And another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this right here, when he performs tawaf ziyarah, the main part of Hajj, that's where his sins get washed away. And from there, the Haji goes to Safa and Marwa and performs sa'i. And as he walks between the two mountains, Allah teaches him the lesson of search for the bounties of Allah, the way the Hajj alayhi salatu wasalam searched for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right here. Think about all the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in your life. Whether it's in the form of finances, whether it's in the form of health, or whether it's in the form of the people that you have in your life. Your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, your community members. Every single one of them is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Haji goes to Madinah to Munawwarah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Haji a lesson of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is one of the two main sources that we receive our religion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arafah, he says, "Taraktu fikum amrayn." In the final Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I leave two matters behind with you. If you hold on to them, you'll be guided. If you let go of them, you'll be misguided. He says, Al-Quran, number one, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main source of our religion. Number two, wa sunnat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the example and the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the Haji to Medina, saying, come and show your love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a person does all of this, how is it possible that change doesn't come into this person's life? How is it possible that a person does not come back as a different human being? But the crazy part is, the mentality that we have is that I want to have this change in my life when I'm 50, 60, 70 years old. And many of us think the Hajj is for the older generation, but the reality is that change, I don't need it when I'm 60, 70, I need it right now. When I'm in my 30s, when I'm in my 20s. These lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, when you're in your 60s and 70s, yes, they're beneficial, but it's a little too late. If you go to Hajj when you're in your prime, in your 20s and 30s, that's where it's beneficial. But many of us, again, shaitan comes to us and makes excuses. And the number one excuse that shaitan makes is, Hajj is so expensive. And trust me, after COVID, Hajj has gotten very expensive. Before COVID, it was still, mashallah, easy. After COVID, it's now somewhat manageable. And if you let this be an excuse, what you will see over the next couple of years, the prices will continue to rise. So that excuse, or that reason, not excuse, but that reason that shaitan puts in our mind that, look, it's so expensive, you can't afford it. If you go to Hajj, then how will you take your children on a vacation to Disneyland? How will you pay for so-and-so bill? How will you upgrade and get a better car or a better house? To the point that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in one narration, in Imam Tirmizi's collection of hadith, and one narration people say, it's Ali Udan that says this, that a person who has the capability, financial capability and physical capability, and this is where we ask ourselves the same questions. Can I afford it right now? Am I physically capable of performing Hajj? And if you can say yes to these two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and that person still does not perform Hajj, if he passes away, if his life comes to an end, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care what religion he passes away on. So these two excuses, or these two reasons that shaitan puts in front of us, that it's too expensive, or number two, the second reason shaitan says that, the second excuse that shaitan gives us is that I'm spiritually not at that level yet. People say, you know, I'm not pious enough. I don't pray my salah. I'm going to work on my salah first. I'm going to work on reading Quran first. And then when I feel close, then I will go and perform Hajj. And this is like the person that says, I'm going to lose weight and then I'm going to go to the gym. But isn't the reason of going to the gym is for you to lose weight? And the reason why you're coming to Hajj is to gain that spirituality. So if you say that I'm going to gain spirituality and then go to Hajj, it makes no sense. Whereas Umar radiallahu anhu, in one narration, he says that if it was up to me, I would send people across the world to every city and find the people that have the means to perform Hajj, but yet they don't perform Hajj, and make them pay a tax. Why haven't you fulfilled this obligation? Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated upon you. But now you ask the question, why are we talking about this, where in our community maybe 20, 30 people go Hajj and we have 400 to 500 people here right now? Why speak about Hajj? And number one is to honor this great act, which is a pillar of our faith. And like we always give the example, you have a tent, and in that tent you take away one pillar and now this tent comes crumbling down. Or you haven't put that pillar up yet, your tent is incomplete. And the second reason why we talk about this is to connect our hearts to this act. So that those of us that have not made this intention yet, we go back home and we have this discussion with our family and discussion with our spouse or discussion with ourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to start saving money. Next year, I will fulfill this obligation. Next year, I will take care of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard upon me. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us all for Hajj. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu 'alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا وسلم عليهم تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for infinite mercy. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have mercy upon the Muslim Ummah, wherever they may be. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have mercy upon our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have mercy upon the Muslim in Gaza. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have mercy upon the Muslim in Rafah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make matters easy upon them. Oh Allah, give them shelter. Oh Allah, protect them. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remove the oppression from among them. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive their shaheed. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cure their ill. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of them that are suffering. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you put it into this suffering. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give us unity amongst our community. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you keep us united. Oh Allah, we ask you not to test us the way that you have tested others. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of us that have made intention to go Hajj, oh Allah, we ask that you take them safely and give them a Hajj that is accepted. Oh Allah, we ask that you bring them back safely. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of us that have not performed Hajj, we ask that you give us the ability to make the intention and that you open the means and give us the rizq and give us the financial means and the health that we go and perform Hajj. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you forgive our sins, that you overlook our shortcomings, that you pardon our mistakes. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you guide our youth and protect them from any type of negative influence and evil influence. Oh Allah, we ask that you keep them on iman. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for Jannah and actions that bring us close to Jannah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
There's a lot of space open in this side room. Again, the people that are in the outside hall, if you want to move to the side room, there's a lot of space open there. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والسماء بنيناها بأيد وإنا لموسعون والأرض فرشناها فنعم الماهدون ومن كل شيء خلقنا زوجين لعلكم تذكرون ففروا إلى الله إني لكم منه نذير مبين ولا تجعلوا مع الله إلها آخر إني لكم منه نذير مبين الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. There's a dua request, brother sister Shamim, who's recovering from a heart attack. Brother Suman Khan, who is a young child who's suffering from cancer. The wife of Khalid Zatre, who's recovering from surgery, and sister Dakrima. She has also been diagnosed with cancer. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a quick, complete, everlasting shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him strength and sabr during his hard time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards their family for the hardship that they're going through. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. A couple of quick announcements. I'll let you know that this June 2nd, this is on Sunday, we have the Uncensored Sean King event. Tickets start at $15, and you can purchase them by visiting uncensoredtour.com. We have our fall Umrah and Turkey trip with Sheikh Salah running from November 20th to December 2nd. You can see the banner in the Masjid lobby for more details. Kids Committee is hosting a Hajj simulation where you can learn the beauty and spirit of Hajj with your kids. That's going to be next Saturday, June 8th, after Dhuhr. You can register at go.friscomasjid.org/Hajj simulation. So just keep in mind that kids must bring their own ihram and hijab. None will be provided on site. The July 4th carnival is also coming up from 3 to 9 p.m. That's on a Thursday. You can join us for rides, food vendors, and bazaar at Frisco Masjid. Tickets for the rides, Ferris wheel, and more are just $15. ICF marketing team is seeking volunteers for roles including social media, graphic design, video editing, and photography. You can check out more details on the ICF website by visiting go.friscomasjid.org/join-ICF-creatives for more information. Summer camp for this year begins this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Spots are still available, so register now at visiting go.friscomasjid.org/summercamp. You can join ICF and Define 360 for an exclusive club designed to empower our young women in leadership, technology, arts, and fitness. Program offerings include AI boot camp and app design and coding camp. Learn more by visiting define360.online/TGSC for ages 13 to 16. ITCON Robotics is now taking forms for interested parties. You can sign up now by visiting the website go.friscomasjid.org/ITKAN Robotics. Jazakallah khair, everybody. Assalamu alaikum.